Amen. Genesis chapter 1, Matthew chapter 3. Are you ready for the word today? I'm going to get right into it. Amen. Praise God. I'm not sure how that, amen, it's going to be brought forth today. I kind of feel like a teacher today. Amen. But I don't know. You know me. I don't get too much into the teaching without getting excited. Praise God. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 3, excuse me. Amen. Everybody got it. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We welcome you again today. Thankful. My wife and I love each and every one of you very much. Amen. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Matthew 3 and verse 3. For this is the time that he was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Amen. Praise God. They're going to blast the shofar. Amen. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on, let's give the Lord. Amen. Some crazy praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say to them, make your path straight. Amen. I already said that we're getting ready to go into, amen, the fall season, amen, of Rosh Hashanah, amen, the fall feast. And, you know, I sought the Lord as to what he would, if he would even have us to minister anything today as we are getting ready to go into that. You know, we've taught for many, many years, amen, on the feasts and the different aspects. And I always think, amen, that when we get to the time, these times of the year, that there's not anything that we could say that hasn't already been said. Amen. And sometimes some things are worth repeating. Praise God. That's the great thing of the word. We can get a fresh revelation or a fresh, amen, insight. But I just feel the Lord leading me here today. Amen. With the place and the position that we are. Amen. And the times that we are living in and the things that are taking place around us, before us. Amen. Right in the midst of where we are. Amen. Things are taking place. But when we look at the feast, I don't want to spend a lot of time. Amen. We know that God give us commands in the Word of God, amen, to remember the feast, amen, that will be perpetual. And let me say this, we don't have to keep the, amen, to celebrate the feast or to teach or recognize them to be saved, amen. I don't believe that today, amen, but because we are, we get, amen, the opportunity to partake of the blessings, amen, and the anointing that is there. So we know that all of the feasts of God were set up and designed. They were prophetic in significance, amen. And they were prophetic in what they and what God established them, and they all pointed, amen, and point to some specific things. The first four biblical feasts, amen, all revolve around the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Those being the spring feasts, amen, that all point to his first coming. We know Passover, when the blood was over the door. Amen. As they were being set free from Egypt, if the blood was over the door, they would be protected from the judgment that was coming. Amen. That was the first Passover. We understand in the scriptures that Jesus became the Passover lamb. Amen. His blood is now, amen, been shed so that we, amen, can be protected from judgment. Amen. That Passover lamb and Jesus, we know, was killed at precisely the same time as the Passover lamb was every year. At 3 p.m., Jesus was killed to fulfill precisely, amen, the feast of Passover. And so he had to be that Passover lamb to protect God's people from judgment. Then the next day after Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Amen. That is a 7-day feast, amen, where there is no leaven. They got rid of all the leaven in their homes. Amen. We understand through Scripture that leaven represents sin. So we see, amen, the removal of sin. Amen. The removal of the burden of sin. Amen. And that feast of unleavened bread, Jesus went into the depths of Sheol and he released the captives who were there. Amen. Believing and waiting in faith. And so we know that because of that perfect Lamb of God, that now his blood can wash away all of our sins and redeem us and cleanse us, justify us, make us as if we had never been born into sin. That's right. Give the Lord praise right there. That's a story that never should never get old. Amen. Praise God. And then, amen, on the third day of the Passover is the Feast of First Fruits. Amen. The high priest would go at sunrise and he would cut down the barley stalk and he would bring the barley offering unto the Lord Yahweh. Amen. In hopes of a great fall harvest. We know that on that third day, this is why Jesus had to be in the grave for 3 days, because he had to fulfill Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. That's why the word tells us why Paul said he became the first fruits of our resurrection. But Jesus rose up on the third day. He was cut out of the earth. Amen. And he is now risen. Amen. And he's going to gather a mighty harvest. Hallelujah. When he comes back. Oh, somebody help me. I'm trying to just teach, amen, and lay a foundation. But I feel the Holy Ghost today. I'm so thankful to be free. I'm thankful that we are in a church where you're free to worship him. Amen. I'm thankful today that we have a God, amen, who looked way beyond where we were. And he saw, amen, us in need of redemption. Hallelujah. And so, amen, they would bring the Lord, amen, Yahweh, the King of Israel, that barley sacrifice in hopes and anticipation that when the fall came, that they would have a great and mighty harvest as they got into the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. And so we know that there's a future harvest coming, amen, when Jesus returns. And then the fourth and final Feast of Spring is Shavuot or Pentecost. Amen. Also as the Feast of Weeks. 50 days after the first Sabbath, after Passover, they celebrated, amen, what was known as Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 in the Greek. Amen. The fire of God came down at Mount Sinai. And Moses received the commandments at that first Shavuot or that first Pentecost. Hallelujah. Then Jesus, as he stood on the Mount of Olives, amen, and he told them, look, fellas, I gotta leave here. It's expedient that I get out of here and leave your presence. But if I go, there will be another comforter that will come and will fill you with power. It will lead you and guide you in all ways of truth. I can't be here anymore, but I pray the Father has sent you another comforter. But I need you to hang tight. I need you to do something. I need you to stay right here in Jerusalem until the power comes. They didn't know what they were waiting for. They didn't know when it was going to come. It was 10 days shy of the 50th day of Pentecost. But as they were gathered there in that upper room, there came the sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. Tongues of fire came and sat upon them, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What was that saying? Jesus came to fulfill, amen, that no longer was there just an earthly temple where his presence was going to dwell, but the fire and power now moved into the temples of man. originally intended in the Garden of Eden. Somebody better shout out in the tabernacle this morning. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God's going to do it the way he has designed it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Before the calm down, Jesus. I'm feeling his presence today. Hallelujah. The spring feasts are all about Passover. And then they culminate. Amen. With the power of God being imparted into the ecclesia, or in the Hebrew, the kahal, or the church. So now we have the power. We used to sing a song, we got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord. Anybody else, you got two or three that knows you got power. And when I say power, I mean authority. We now have authority over every demon, over every imp of hell, over every work of the enemy. Jesus done destroyed it. Now he gave us the authority to keep it where it belongs. And for now, it's under our feet. It's under our feet. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Talking about make your path straight today. That's where everything truly begins. Hallelujah. That's where everything truly begins. Now we have the truth and the spirit connected together. Well, we talked about that last week. Amen. Those that worship him. There was a time, amen, when some were worshiping in truth. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, but there will come a time when those that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Now we've got the two of them connected together. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there, hallelujah, we find, amen, that God has got things right where he needs them. So as they leave that spring feast, as they celebrate Shavuot, amen, is the wheat harvest. So Passover being the barley, amen, and Shavuot or Pentecost being the wheat harvest, amen. So now, hallelujah, they are at the end of the spring feast, amen, praise God. And that begins the long drought of summer, amen, and into the fall, where, hallelujah, they waited for the fall harvest. And with the fall harvest came the fall feast. Hallelujah. So they endured the drought of the summer. Amen. With an anticipation. You that know have been here when we've done our tabernacles worship. Hallelujah. The water libation. Amen. It was all about the coming rain. Amen. Hallelujah. Rain is a sign of God's blessing. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. So they were going to endure the drought of the summer, believing for the rains to come to bring, amen, the fall harvest and the fall feast. So that's where we are right now, amen, a little over 2,000 years later. Here we are, amen, we're no longer waiting for his first coming. It's already been fulfilled. Now we're waiting because if he stood there and he told them, I gotta go away, he said, but don't you forget that if you see me leave, hallelujah, as soon as much as I'm leaving, I'm going to come back again. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. So it stands to reason. The first four feasts in the spring fulfilled his first coming. We got three left. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Hallelujah. The head of the year, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. Those are not yet fulfilled. So what's he got left to do? But to come back the second time. And when he comes back the second time, guess what? God is going to have
days fulfilled. His second coming, amen, his return is going to fulfill, amen, the full feast. So now that's where we are. Amen. We're waiting for the second return of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed one of Israel. Hallelujah. My God, I feel it in this place today. If your neighbor is asleep, I give you permission to pinch him. Pinch him and say, wake up and listen. Listen, listen. Jesus is coming. Listen, Linda. Jesus is about to return. And he needs a people who are ready.
Times Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. Rosh Hashanah, amen, the year. So now let's go back to Genesis 1:14. God said, Jesus, shout that from the housetop. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Yep. Hallelujah. God's original intent. If we want to know God's original intent for something, we got to go back to where it's first mentioned and revealed to us in the scripture. Amen. What is God's intent? Amen. For the lights in the firmament of the heaven. What is God's plan? Amen. For the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's what lights the firmament. Are you with me? The sun, the moon, and the stars. God said, I put them there not for you to worship them, not for you, amen, to give yourself to them, not to give them honor, but I give them to you for signs, for seasons, for days and years. So God said, when you don't know what's happening, when everything else is all awry and going crazy, look up. You can watch the sky. Look at the signs. You can watch for the seasons. You know, somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. So that's God's original intent. For the sun, moon, and stars, the light in the firmament, to be signs. Now the word seasons in the Hebrew, some of you know this already, some of you may not. Some of you may not care, but you're going to hear it anyway. It's the Hebrew word moladim. It's the word, Hebrew word for seasons. It means appointments. It also means a sacred time, an appointed time. Amen. So, hallelujah, the seasons. I know that, amen, there's a season for everything, right? The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, there is a time. There is a season for everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Seasons have been used a lot. Amen. Been used flippantly in the body of Christ. Amen. I praise God, but it doesn't change the fact that God set, amen, hallelujah, the things in, amen, existence to let us know the seasons. So we're about to come into the fall season. Amen. God said, I've set something. So see, amen, you know, we have the season, like when it's Christmas. Amen. The whole month of December. Amen. It's the season of Christmas. It's the season. It's the season. To be jolly. La 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 la. Amen. Right, the season. Amen. Some of you, when it's your birthday month, it's the whole month. Amen. That whole month is your season. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? So a season is a time surrounding a particular celebration or a particular happening. Amen. So we see that, amen, that seasons, God give us the moon, the sun, and the stars to show us, amen, to know how to decide the seasons. And so it is an appointed time. It is a time, amen, that is sacred. So I want you to keep that in mind. It's interesting that the word Moedim is also translated from the Hebrew into English to mean congregation. Amen. I love the Hebrew language. Amen. You know that one word can take on several different meanings depending on the context that it's used. That's why context is so important. You can't be building a ministry off of one scripture. You can't build a denomination off of one scripture. You got to take it all or take none of it. Amen. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. Praise God. So it translates to also mean congregation. So God set the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky for his congregation. Amen. For set times, for specific seasons, specific feasts, specific times of celebration. And so it's not meant for just one, but it's meant for all. Whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. So whoever is in covenant with God has permission. And if you're in covenant with God, it's got to be through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. So you got permission to show up. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Some say, hey, that's just for the Jews. Nope. The Jews have just kept it so that we can, amen, show up there. When Jesus left, oh, come on, somebody. He said, amen, so now you can show up. See what happens when there is an appointed time. When it is a sacred season, amen, that means there's things in that particular season that are only going to be released at that time. So if you and I show up at the appointed time, guess what? We're going to receive, amen, something from heaven, amen, that is only set for those who show up for that appointment. I need you to help me in this place. That doesn't change your salvation. Doesn't mean you're any less saved than I am. Hallelujah. But I can tell you something from experience. Hallelujah. When you show up, amen, under the open window of heaven, and God puts into you, releases, amen, and brings into your spirit, it's going to take you through to the next season. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me? So we set all of those in the heavens so that we would know when to meet with him. We know in Leviticus 23, amen, he's listed out all of the holy days. That's where we get the word holiday. But all of the holy days, all the feasts of the Lord that is set, amen, so that we could bring ourselves, amen, to where he is. So we know that God works in patterns. God works in cycles. Why does he do that? Why does God work in patterns and cycles? Because it sets his people apart.
Come on now.
Come on. Yeah, amen.
You'll get that next Sunday. But I'm going to say it again. He works in patterns and cycles because it sets us apart.
Amen.
When everyone else, we're getting to go into, amen, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, whatever you want to call it, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord, God is not offended. It doesn't matter to him if you can speak it right, say it right, amen. Do you understand that? It's a spiritual thing. Are you with me? Hallelujah, amen. And so you got to understand, hallelujah, that he works in patterns and cycles. So while the world, our world is in turmoil, do you understand that there is such a demonic presence in the spirit, in the atmosphere of our world. Amen. Not just in the United States, but all over. Amen. And it's branching off of different, amen, things now. Hallelujah. We just, amen, praise God. Sadly, amen, just this weekend, amen, there were people, amen, who lost everything, amen, because of the hurricane. You say, well, it's hurricane season. There you go. It's the season. But you can only plan for
you're not in control of the hurricane. Come on, somebody. Most of you that were on Facebook, amen, knew we spent last week, amen, in upstate South Carolina visiting my sister. Amen. Praise God. And Hurricane Helene was set, came, amen, through Florida, and it went, amen, and took a path into Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. Amen. I've never seen winds that strong as I saw on Friday morning. Amen. In the house where we were staying. Amen. Pulling up trees in the backyard. It felt like the roof was going to go off. Amen. And that was, they were just about 70 miles an hour. Amen. And Florida and those, their wind was 140. I said, can you imagine double this? Amen. Praise God. I can't imagine it. Hallelujah. Amen. But the owners of our homes, that we've lived here 13 years and we've never seen anything like this, because usually the upstate, amen, is protected from such a surge of the storms and the hurricanes. But listen to me, North Carolina has literally lost towns and cities. What we drove through to get there, we had to take a different route home, because they're literally, amen, locked in. They cannot get in or out. They're sitting on their roofs, amen, with no electric, no food. Kids are screaming, help me. The only way they can be helped is for someone to come by air. The last I saw on Friday night, they had not got to many of them. Watching, hallelujah, everything they own. What? They were not expecting that, because it's typically not what happens in this season. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Devastation. Saw so many trees and electric poles. They're going to be without power. Georgia, all of those places who are typically not. They said this is the storm of the century in the upstate. South Carolina and North Carolina, they've never seen it. Matter of fact, they said it might be the worst in history. Amen. They weren't prepared for it. Amen. Woken up in the middle of the night. Amen. With the sound of trees falling on the roofs. Amen. The last time when we left yesterday or Friday, there were six who had been killed by falling trees on their house and on their automobiles. Amen. Laying in bed, and all of a sudden a tree falls and you don't know. You're not prepared for that. Hallelujah. You know that it's coming, but you're really not prepared for it to be that severe. But can I tell you what? Jesus put the signs in the heavens with the sun, the moon, and the stars. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I feel it in my belly. Hallelujah. Paul said, hallelujah, he does not want you to be unprepared. We know that Jesus is coming. We know that judgment is coming. And we can only prepare so much. But Jesus said, you do not have to be caught off guard. You can be ready and prepared. For when I return, it'll be like a thief in the night. But you do not have to be caught off guard. You can be prepared that it will not catch you unaware. Who am I talking to in the house today? Hallelujah. Let's get ready. Let's be ready. Let's stay ready. Let's get prepared for his return. The Bible tells us that there will be floods and pestilences and all of these things. You say, well, a flood isn't uncommon, but it is where it's happening. Come on, are you with me? The devastation and the turmoil that they're facing. Total loss. No roads to even get in and out. They can't even get out. There's no road. The roads are washed away. Highways have been washed away. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, that's a sign that Jesus is coming.
And while this was happening in the United States, alarms were going off in Jerusalem. Rockets and missiles were going off in Jerusalem. The Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah, was killed in an Israeli strike in Lebanon. So while the hurricane was moving and taking power and stirring and moving and going across, alarms were going off in Jerusalem. Missiles, rockets being released. Iran's leader, Ali Khamenei, after 5 days, I think it is, of mourning that he's going, that they're in, he is swearing to avenge Nasrallah's death. And so while all of that is happening here, alarms were sounding in Jerusalem. Israel is still at war. Will be a year, October the 7th, on our calendar, that the war at the Gaza Strip began at the very last day of Sukkot, the very last day of Tabernacles. Now we're going into the fall feast, still in war. Can I tell you, this is a sign. These are signs that Jesus is returning. There's a second moon, amen, that's set to come today. It's an asteroid that's supposed to appear in the heavens somewhere. They're calling it a second moon. Amen. Praise God. Are you understanding me today? I'm not prophesying anything, not looking into, amen. Praise God. You can call it what you want to, but it's a sign to me. Hallelujah. Amen. No coincidence that all of this is taking place at the same time. Amen. Flooding right here. Amen. In Ohio, we had a drought this summer. Now we got flooding. Hallelujah. You go from one to the other. Come on, somebody. Are you understanding me? It's time to make your path straight. It's time to make your calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Say with me, I'm just laying a foundation. Hallelujah. So God works in patterns. So what my point is while the world is in chaos, my heart is broken for all the loss, the burden for Israel. Amen. And the command to pray for Israel. While all of this is taking place, we're embarking on, amen, a very pivotal election year. Things, amen, are just in chaos. But while everyone else, amen, I'm not saying there's no need to be concerned, but while everyone else is biting their nails and pacing the floor and worrying, amen, and not sure, we're looking up, amen, those who understand that God is working in patterns and cycles, and it sets us apart. So while everyone else is falling apart, we've been set apart to know that our redemption is about to take place. Our final departure. My God, somebody help me in this house. Hallelujah. And listen to me. Amen. That we can keep our eyes on the heavens and we can watch and walk this week from Wednesday night at sundown. Hallelujah. When the sound of the shofar is released. I truly believe that the Lord's return, the catching away, and all the final judgment, everything is going to transpire during the season of the fall feast. Based on God's patterns and the fulfillment of the other feasts. And there's some other things, amen, praise God, hallelujah. He works in patterns and cycles.
to set us apart. We talked about that a couple weeks ago too. We've been set apart. We're peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to not be like the average world. We're not supposed to be like the average person. But it's so much. So I want to show you something here. Maybe it's even maybe I don't know. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul said, "But of the times and seasons, brother, you have no need that I write unto you." Get that? He's talking to Jews, but he's also talking to Gentiles who have been converted, been born again. They didn't convert to Judaism, they got born again. He's talking to Jews who have been redeemed, who have accepted the fulfillment of the spring feast as Jesus being the Messiah, and they see all of the connections. Amen. So he said, I don't have any need to write to you about the seasons and the times because you already know all that. You get that? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What's he saying? He said, I don't need to write up to you about the feasts and the seasons and the times, because you don't know all that. You also know that he's going to come like a thief in the night. Then he said, verse 3, he said, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So in other words, amen, if I can put that in hillbilly terms, Paul said, I don't need to waste ink, amen, and papyrus to explain to you what I'm talking about to you this morning, because you don't know that. What I need you to remember is that he's going to come like a thief in the night, and you know what it takes to be prepared and ready. So don't let him catch you off guard, and don't be caught off by peace and safety, because when you hear that, know that sudden destruction is coming. Are you with me? All you need to talk to them about the times and the seasons, because they already knew it. They had been taught. They understood the feast days were about the first and the second coming of Christ. That's what they're all about.
Right.
Amen. To get his people to focus on what matters.
Right.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Because they already understood that the feast days were all about his coming. So now we have the Feast of Trumpets, or the Day of the Shout. Yom Teruah. Yom is day in Hebrew. Teruah is shout, it's cry. It also can be interpreted as the blowing shout. So it can be the day of the shout, the day of the blowing. Amen. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot other than there to sound that trumpet on that day. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. It's the day of blowing. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. But he said that. Here's what you got to understand. I'm going to try to bring it down for a second. We all operate on different calendars, right? We have our fiscal calendar. We have the school calendar. When school starts in South Carolina, the school calendar, we have our regular calendar that begins on January the 1st, right? We got all of these different calendars within the same months. Israel uses a civil calendar. That civil calendar begins on the 7th month, which is Tishrei in the Hebrew. On our calendar, that's somewhere in September, October, depending on how the moon and everything falls, right? That's it. So they use the civil calendar, and that begins on the month of Tishrei. The first day of Tishrei is Wednesday. Okay? Or excuse me, it's Thursday. It's October 2nd for us. It's the first of Tishrei. That falls on the calendar this year, on our calendar, on Thursday. So, and they go with Exodus 23 and 34, where
where it speaks about at the end of the fall feast, it's the end of the year, so they take it from that. That's their civil calendar. That's when they begin their new year, like we begin ours on our civil calendar on January the 1st. So the religious calendar, their religious calendar begins in March or April, the month of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar, amen, their religious calendar, and that's when they were, that's Passover, that's when they were delivered. So that's kind of like their birth, the birthday of being a nation, just like we celebrate, you celebrate, and I celebrate our birthday on the same time every year, somewhere within the year, but we still go from that day to that day the next year. Are you with me? So the religious calendar, we understand that, right? And so it begins on that. So it became a people or a nation. And then the civil calendar, beginning at Tishrei, September, October, that's when they follow the affairs of life. And they deal with taxes and all the wonderful stuff that we deal with beginning January 1, right? Everything changes. Leviticus chapter 23 tells us about the blowing of the trumpets, that you are to blow the trumpet. It doesn't give us a whole lot more to go on. But when we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, Paul again says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a teruah, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you see the connection? The blowing of the trumpet. That blowing, that sounding, that Yom Teruah, that day of the blowing. So we begin to see that's the sound that will awaken the dead. That's why the writer used that language there, because they would understand what he was talking about. He knew who he was talking to, and he knew what they knew and what they understood. Are you with me? So that's why he used this language, because of Yom Teruah, or the Feast of Trumpets. It's always a sound of a trumpet that calls together an army. Always the sound of a trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. God's going to gather his army. Right? That sound is going to gather up his army. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Feast of Trumpets is all about preparation. It's all about being ready. There's 10 days of awe that follows that. Amen. Where wrath is poured out. Amen. And then we get to the end. Amen. We get to Yom Kippur. Leads us to Yom Kippur with the day of judgment when all will be judged. And then we get, amen, to Sukkot or Tabernacles, where we all sit down and feast together. Amen. And we sit down and have a meal together. Amen. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Does that sound like anything you've ever read before? Amen. Since you've been, amen, born again, we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Revelation we're going to celebrate tabernacles when we get together in the New Jerusalem. Why? Because we're going to be with the one, hallelujah, who has fulfilled it. Are you hearing me? Amen. Tabernacles is when every tribe and nation, nobody can be refused out of the Jewish, amen, tent, out of the Jewish tabernacle, out of the sukkah. They can't turn away any Gentile, anybody, because everybody will be happy over there. Oh, what singing! Oh, what shouting! On that happy morning when we all shall rise! Oh, what glory! Hallelujah! When we meet our Savior in the skies! Somebody shout if you understand what I'm talking about this morning. Hallelujah! right now we're at the end of Elul, which is September. So I told you that the first of Tishrei begins this Thursday. It actually begins at sundown on Wednesday. Now that's just how they keep track of time. But it's officially on October the 2nd. It ends on Friday the 4th. So from sundown Wednesday till sundown Friday is the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. The practicing, the rehearsing of the sound of the trumpet. Judgment Day is coming. So we got to prepare. Look at your neighbor and say, let's get prepared. And this is where I want to go. I might say more later, I don't know. I feel the Holy Ghost today, man. Hallelujah. Hang with me for just a few more minutes. There are several different words in the Hebrew for the word prepare. I'm going to talk about a few of them this morning. One word is asal in the Hebrew for prepare. It means to make, produce, observe, celebrate, to bring about, to put in order, to ordain, or to press or squeeze. Hello? I don't know that I've ever either I've missed that or never saw that or never paid attention to that before, but I thought, okay, prepare means, you know, make sense, to make, produce, observe, celebrate, bring about, put in order, ordain, or press or squeeze. Press or squeeze. So let's put that in reverse order. If God's preparing you and me so that we can live our best life, then he's going to press or squeeze us.
Come on.
That's why you're feeling what you're feeling in this season leading up to this other season. Come on, somebody. And we don't have to go there. We don't spend a lot of time. We've talked about it, amen, for months this year, amen. Different things. It's been a season of squeezing. That rhyme, but a season of squeezing. Hashtag that. Season of squeezing. That's where I'm at. That's where I've been, amen. That season of squeezing. It's been a pressing. There's been a lot of pressure. There's been a lot of pressure that I felt like was undue. Pressure that I felt like I didn't deserve. Pressure that I felt like shouldn't be. Pressure that I wasn't expecting. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Amen. Squeezing that I wasn't really set to receive. Hallelujah. But amen, there's no getting out of the press. When the press begins to push, when the press begins to squeeze, come on, somebody. Amen, there's no releasing it. There's no getting out of it. Hallelujah. The only thing left is what it's going to get out of you. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? And that's what's happening. Hallelujah. That's why you're feeling. Love it when things start to make sense. When they make sense, I don't care. You're like, what do you mean you don't care? It's out of my control. I know for sure what's happening. So I'm just going to go with the squeezing. Squeeze as you please, right? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I know it sounds funny, but you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I told you this has been, amen, I've been in a dark, dark season. And yes, it's been a season. Hallelujah. Amen. That only God knows and understands. But oh, I'm so thankful that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. That some of the squeezing might be from hell. But if hell is squeezing, that means God is allowing the squeezing to happen. And it's going to be for my benefit. Because what's he do? Why does he do what he does? So that you can have a deeper relationship with him. That's what it's all about. Not so you can have things and you can boast and have likes and have books and the best selling. It's not about all that. It's so Hang with me. So preparation from his perspective is not all. But it's to press or squeeze like the olive press or the wine press. See, in order to bring that grape to its full potential, but it's sure it's good and sweet and it serves as fruit and you can throw it in your mouth. But what is the utmost that can be taken from a grape? The final destination. To bring that grape to its full potential. That final destination is perfect wine in the King's hand.
Amen.
To squeeze and press that grape, to step on it, to stomp it, to press it and crush it, and to get all of that juice to make the perfect wine in the hand of the King. That olive press. It's been a while since we preached on that, but that olive press squeezes and presses that olive to bring that pure oil. Jesus. Created me a clean heart. Give you a right spirit within you. Let my motives be pure. Let my actions be pure. God, I may mess up in the acting, but you, let my motives be right. Let my motives be pure. Let it be pure oil. No pride. No arrogance. No self-promotion. Why do they squeeze that olive to bring that pure oil? Because the ultimate destination for that pure oil was to be in the menorah in the temple so that the light could never go out. So that it would burn pure without impurities and without defilement, so that it would burn as bright as possible. Are you with me? Are you still with me? I'm trying to hurry up and get you out of here. He wants to prepare us so we observe. That's why we show up. That's why we worship him in the truth and the understanding of these seasons. If he wants to prepare us.
Amen.
So that we can't get caught off guard. People act like that the Lord is hiding around here trying to catch him. Trying to catch him. That's it. Conscience. I knew he was going to mess up. I knew he was going to fall. I knew he was going to do it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. See? I knew it. That's what we act like.
Yeah.
Because we don't understand his grace.
Amen.
His love and his fullness. He's not waiting to catch you off guard for you to mess up. He wants you to be prepared. See, we do Bible things in Bible ways so that it sets us apart.
Right.
It makes us different. A peculiar people. It's like all of the feast days of the Lord are about preparing. It's all about preparing.
Right.
What are they preparing for? So we start from Passover. Remember, God had the Messiah, had Jesus in mind, coming the first time, coming the second time. So he started at Passover, going all the way through. And when he gets to the final fulfillment of the fall feast of tabernacles, what's it going to be? It's not your question. He's prepared us for a wedding.
Amen.
All of that has been prepared for a wedding feast. The bride and the bridegroom. The ecclesia. The kahal. The church is the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. So all of this is about being ready for the wedding day. About being ready for the wedding feast. preparing when you meet the bridegroom in the air. Preparing, hallelujah, that if you die first, you're going to come up first. If you are alive and remain, you're going to go up right after that. Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. No more than you can blink your eye. We're going to be changed from mortal to immortal. No more pain, no more suffering. Hallelujah. I don't know how it's all going to transpose. All I know is I want to be prepared so that I can be there. Hallelujah. Meeting the bride, groom in the air. That's what all of this has been. All that we're going through, everything. And that we can take as many guests with us as possible.
Amen.
Right? That's the harvest that Jesus rose for.
Yeah, right.
So another word in the Hebrew for prepare is kadosh. Now, for some of you that may know some Hebrew, you'll know, amen, might recognize that. That word means to be made holy, to be set apart. Now, we're talking about preparing. It also means to consecrate, to dedicate, or observe that which is holy. Are you with me? Can I tell you that holiness is honoring what God calls holy?
Right.
Holiness is not long sleeves, long hems and hair and all that stuff.
Right.
I know a lot of people that's got all that covered, but man, they're devils.
Come on.
They treat people like garbage. Is what it is. That's not holiness. And we begin to honor what God calls holy. So kadosh means to observe that which is holy. So when something is set apart, what are you doing? You're being prepared for something special. Hallelujah. That means I'm going to get something that not everybody's going to get. Right? Layton's my only granddaughter. I tell her all the time. She was so sad when they found out Silas was a boy. She just did not want another brother. We got all grandsons. I had all girls. Grew up in a house of females. That's why I'm gray. We have all grandsons. She's the only granddaughter. I said, look, honey. Just remember, you're always going to be Papa's little girl. And you'll be the only one. You'll be the only one. So that sets her apart. So she can get things from me that she can't get from other people. Because she's set apart. Right? And she knows it. But we've been set apart. When something's set apart, means you've been prepared for something special. So he has set us apart as holy, not so that we can be religious nuts and robots and fanatics and tell other people you're going to hell and beat people up, but so that we can be prepared for something special. We've got something waiting for us. John said, I saw a number no man could number. I just want to be one in that number. I just want to be one in that number. Another word for prepare is hewn. It means to be firm or established, to be set up or fixed, firmly established. Can I tell you the feast days are firmly established as set apart seasons and they're fixed in the heavenly realm. Whether we show up or not, they're going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to take place whether we show up or not. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So ready or not, here he comes. He's going to return whether we're ready or not. So when we prepare ourselves, what are we doing? We're building a firm foundation. Because God's already established it. That we're going out of here. He's already established that we're going to be called out to hear. That this world is not our home. So when we build on something, when we prepare ourselves, we're building on a firm foundation. You don't always have to understand it or agree with it, but just know that God has set it in place.
Amen.
It's just like a kid with their dad. You got to hold his hand when you cross the street. How many's ever had a little kid? Why? Why do I have to hold your hand? Because you can get hit. Why? Well, because cars are coming. Why? Why don't they just stop? Because they don't. Why? So, it's like taking your dad's hand across the street. You may not always understand the purpose of it, and may not always make sense. You just know you got to take it to hand when you're crossing the street.
Amen.
Just take my hand as we're crossing the street. It's the same thing. I may not always understand what he's doing. I may not always, know what is happening. And I may not always realize what the significance of it is. But I'm just going to take his hand. I'm just going to show up. He's going to walk me across. Come on, somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to finish here. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, make your path straight. Just know I have to do it. I may not always understand why it hurts like it hurts. Why I must experience the grief and the sorrow and the disappointment. But I know he's got a reason for it. So let's take his hand. Okay. Just squeeze on. Press in. You merge the spirit and the truth that establishes our faith and it gives us a firm foundation. Oh, Lord Jesus. There's so much false teaching. So many people preaching half-truths. So many people falling, prey, damaged, broken, and hurting because of false teachers.
Right.
I want my foundation to be firm.
Yeah.
I don't want religion.
Right.
I remember as a kid in the Pentecostal church, he used to sing a song, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. I don't want religion.
Yeah.
Because religion, it's sturdy like an oak tree, right?
Mm.
Some of it's lasted for centuries. It's sturdy like an oak tree. But can I tell you, its root system is not deep. And it's easily pushed over.
Yeah.
An oak tree is firm. Its wood is hard. It's a strong piece of wood. It's sturdy, but its roots do not run deep. So a bulldozer can come and push over an oak tree. Big, tall oak trees. I watched the wind uproot trees, but I couldn't get my arms around their trunk like they were nothing. Friday. Look inside. But one of my favorite things about the South, y'all know I don't like the heat, so I'm not a fan of Florida. I don't know why anybody would want to live there. I know. That's my preference. But my favorite thing about the South are the palm trees.
Yeah.
I love the palm trees. Do you know how many hurricanes some of the palm trees have been through? They ain't near. The Bible calls it a reed palm. And they ain't near as big and sturdy as those oak trees. But you know why? You know why they endure those winds? Because their roots run deep.
Amen.
Their roots run to the water. Their roots run to the water. Their root system goes deep. So they just bend with the wind, but they're not
broken. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we're like that reed. Hallelujah. We're like that reed palm. Amen. The winds may come and they may blow, and things may bring us to where we feel like we're going to break. But if our roots are in the water of the Word, and they run deep, and they're set upon the truth and the Spirit and not a religious experience, hallelujah, come on, somebody, then the winds will blow, the storms will come, and will bend, but we ain't going to break. Nothing is going to be able to uproot us. Are you with me today? No matter how strong, it won't break. That's why we walk in God's way. The last Hebrew word for prepare is interesting. It's the word panah. It means to turn toward to, or away from, to turn and do, to turn around. What's that sound? Repentance. But it's interesting that it's also the root of the word for face. Panim is the Hebrew word for face. So it's also rooted in face. So when we repent, when we turn toward something, when we repent, we turn towards what? God. Amen? So preparing, amen, means that we turn toward God's face, we turn our face to His face, amen, we repent, and we establish, amen, that we are going to, amen, do what? Turn away from sin. We turn our face to God's face, amen. We turn from the things that are empty, from the things that are vain, from everything that has no eternal value, to prepare ourselves for eternity or for this wedding feast. Oh, I want to see Him. Look on, got the hymnals in my brain today. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. Are you with me? Hallelujah. If we're going to see Him there, we got to turn our face away from sin and from everything that has no eternal value. So much debating and debacle going on in the ecclesia, in the church, in the body of Christ. We left here Monday morning, the grass was like potato chips. You walk on, it sounded like you're crunching potato chips, right? We hadn't had rain, amen, a drought. We get down there, praise God, we had about a day and a half where it did rain, and then it rained, amen, and then it really rained on Thursday and Friday, amen, praise God. And then as we were leaving, going out, amen, we finally got out of South Carolina on Friday afternoon, and then we drove our ways into Virginia. It was dry, and we get yesterday, we get closer, we get into Ohio, and boom, it's raining. I was like, oh, we just left all that and then come back, but I'm thankful. Amen. Praise God that God, amen, sends the rain. I thought the rain is a sign of blessing. Amen. Praise God. And I want you to understand, amen, that the call is coming and God just wants us to be prepared. The call is coming. As sure as I'm standing here, He's going to call. Amen. He's going to capture the church. We're going to be raptured out of here. He's going to return. Amen. There's going to be judgment. Things are going to happen. Amen. The call is coming, that God wants us to be prepared. Finally, the Greek word for prepared is hetomazo. And it means to make ready or prepare, to make preparation, to get everything ready. Now that's what we're familiar with. Some of those other words in the Hebrew, not real familiar with the idea of preparing, but when you prepare something, you make ready. You just get things ready, make preparation, get all that needs to be ready. See, that's what we're familiar with, but I think that's a little shallow. Let's look at Matthew 3:3 again. One more time. Except for this is going to spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make His paths straight."
Prepare for his coming. Prepare. Make your path straight. It means you got to take the crooked path of your life and make it straight. I can say it like my mom used to, straighten up. You better straighten up, son. I'm going to bust you. Straighten up. That's what the Lord is reminding us, to make our paths straight. Anything crooked in our lives, anything that gets us distracted, get it out. Remove it. Straighten up. You say, that path. See, the word path in the Hebrew is the word derek. D-E-R-E-K. And when we think about a path, we think about a path that's already worn, right? And when you follow in a path, when you go in a path, it's somebody that already went before you.
Right?
It's usually well worn. But in the Hebrew, it's just a set. It's not a well-worn path. So you take the first step towards God. And then when you take the next step, or the second step, now you have a path. You have a derrick or a direction that you're going. It doesn't have to be one that's already been made. Are you with me? See, it's easy to follow a path that someone has already made. We said it a few weeks ago. Breakthrough is taking the first step.
Right.
So, making that path, you take the first step towards God, and then when you take the next step, you're now in the right direction.
Right.
You're now making a path. Yeah. That's how you make your path straight. So if you feel stuck this morning where you are, don't try to think about what you're going to do in 12 days. Don't try to think, what am I going to do tomorrow or in 10 days or 12 days? Don't think about what you're going to do down the road. Take the first step towards God, and then he'll begin to guide you.
Amen.
So, you say, well, I don't know what's crooked. Take that first step towards God. Say, God, whatever it is, anything in my life, turn, take that step. And then as you take that next step, now you're on it. You're on a path. You're now making your path straight. Does that make sense to you? Are you here at this point? I'm about to close. I want to get ready here. Come to the music. Never step you take, it has to be in his word. If you don't take those steps in his word, then you're not on a firm foundation. Are you with me today? So if we put all of the definitions for preparing or prepare together, we can see what prepare means. We pull that up for you. To turn away from things that are unholy and turn back to and make, produce, observe, celebrate, and put in order that which is made holy, set apart, firmly established, set up, and fixed. So God's done got it all planned out. What we got to do is follow through. And so we know that Rosh Hashanah is about forgiveness. It's about accepting forgiveness, giving forgiveness. It's about letting things go. And it's interesting that Rosh Hashanah is the only feast that falls on a new moon. You know what a new moon is? It means it's a dark moon. It's completely covered. There's no light. So it's the only feast that falls on a new moon. And a Yom Teruah, which you hear, baby, sound the trumpet. They would have two silver trumpets. And they would sound those silver trumpets. What's interesting about that Because not only was Yom Teruah with a feast of trumpets, and what we now see as Rosh Hashanah, not only was it the beginning of the fall feast, that's the day that kings were crowned. No matter when they were set in place as king, whether they were brought as king in February, April, May, June, July, it wasn't until Yom Teruah, or the Feast of Trumpets, that they would coronate and crown them as king. So it's like our president gets elected in November, but he doesn't take office till January, 21st, something like that, I don't know. And once the two silver trumpets were blown and the blast was made throughout all the city, wherever anybody was at, whatever they were doing, they would stop, they would fall to their knees, and they would declare, "He is our King." Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So you see, this is God's divine rhythm. This is God's clock. This isn't mine, but it's God's divine rhythm. And knowing that he's got it all set and he'll give me signs and he's not going to leave me caught off guard, and I can be prepared, gives me peace and gives me a foundation that I can stand on. Because that trumpet, now when it sounds, if it doesn't happen in this season, when that trumpet sounds, it literally awakens the soul. It stops us in our tracks because we're rehearsing for a wedding. We're preparing our hearts for the second coming of the Messiah. We know that during the month of Elul, the king is in the field. There's no war. He's in the field. He's accessible. You can go to him. Get prepared. So what we got to do is we got to get in sync with heaven. We can't be distracted by all of this stuff. We can't let our hearts be consumed with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and all of these things. We can't get caught up in the rhetoric and all of the chaos that's happening around us, where anxiety and fear begin to take it. The enemy is trying to build strongholds in our minds just randomly across this place. God wants us to be in unity. I was thinking this morning as I was preparing final parts of this message. I'm not much of a movie person. I'm honestly surprised I can remember it. I just don't remember movies. It's not my thing. But I watched a true story once called The Heart of Champions. It was about a retired veteran, but about a coach coming and getting this rowing team in college. They were all in chaos. They were all in competition with each other. So when they would get, what's that called? I mean, you know, it's in the Olympics, big old long paddle, you know, where they all get in that big long and everybody's paddling together, rowing together, the rowing competition. I think that's called a boat. I'm sure there was a fancy name for that thing. But they would get in, and because the one in the front was trying to outdo the one in the middle, and the one in the back was trying to outdo the one in the front, the one sitting in the fourth spot thought he belonged in the first spot. They could never get anywhere. And that coach told them, until you row in unity, until you learn that doesn't matter who's in the front, who's in the middle, who's in the back, it matters that Wherever you are, everybody is rolling together. Everybody's doing it in unity. That's what's going to win the race. That's what's going to win the competition. So we got to get in sync with heaven. We got to quit all of this fussing and fighting and feuding about things that really have no eternal value. And we got to get ourselves together and begin to roll together. We got to tell people Jesus is coming. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And if you don't know Jesus and you take your last breath, you have no promise of heaven. But hell is a sure thing. There's people bound by demons. People that are bound, amen, by darkness. They need deliverance. We got to get in sync with heaven. Hallelujah. We're going through this squeezing, but if we meet him at these appointed times, he will refresh us. He will renew us. He will strengthen us to navigate into the next season, that we can bring a harvest. Hallelujah. Make your path straight today. Everything that don't matter, everything that bears no weight on your eternity, lose it, leave it, drop it, walk away from it, let it go. If it's a relationship, break it off. Hallelujah. No matter what it is. Hallelujah, because the Lord has promised us that our prodigal children are coming home. He's promised us that our prodigal spouses are returning. He prophesied, hallelujah, I will restore unto you the years that the locust have eaten. Hallelujah, I feel it right now in my spirit. Somebody in the house is burdened over one of your children. And it looks like that they're never going to turn their face back towards God to the fullness. But I hear the Spirit say, make your path straight. Take that step in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And watch and see if God will not meet you. Hallelujah. At that appointed time. Hallelujah. Say again to worship. If you're in this place today, I know we've kept it for a while today, but if you're in this place and your heart is not prepared for eternity, you would take your last breath. You're not sure where your destiny would be. You need to come today. You have to ask somebody if you're saved. You need to make sure, because we know when we're born again. So if you're here today and you're lost and you don't know the Lord, I'm gonna bid you come. First and foremost, if you're here today, you're lukewarm, your relationship has grown cold. Now's the time to renew it. If you're here this morning and you say, man, Pastor, I felt the squeezing, I'm feeling the pressing. I'm in that place, and I'm not sure what the path is, just like you said. And I find myself worried about what I'm going to do 10 or 12 steps ahead. What's it going to be? I just want to make my path straight. We want to pray with you. We want to strengthen you. I want you to come. If there's anything in your life that you feel is separating you, you need to come this morning as they get ready.